Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am your host for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Tom Beal. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Susan. Today, we will be bringing you some information about a couple of important political events taking place next Tuesday, January 21st. The Story County 2014 Political Caucuses. In Iowa, we hear about the caucuses to select presidential candidates months, even years in advance, but we let these off-year caucuses sneak up on us without paying sufficient attention to the issues involved that would bring people to those meetings. So we're very fortunate that both Dane Nielsen, chairman of the Story County GOP, and Jan Bauer, chair of the Story County Democrats, have agreed to come to the station today to tell us why it's important for people to attend their caucuses.
We'll provide basic information about where and when these will occur later in the program. But first, we have a new feature on KHOI, the weather. We decided it ought to be part of our program like it is on most morning programs because it's what everybody in our listening area talks about. Doesn't matter who you are or what part of the county you're in, the weather is always important. And this morning, according to weather.gov, our temperature right here in downtown Ames at the Pantorium is 5 degrees. And the wind is varying like the wind does. It was actually 29 miles per hour when I looked earlier. It doesn't feel like it's quite that much now, but I can see the flags on top of the library on the construction are blowing pretty significantly.
But you know, it's an interesting experience when you're driving through the town. Yes, I see the wind blowing at the library construction site, but as I drove in this morning, it actually seemed quite calm. There weren't many cars out. It's still fairly early, but it was not as windy as it had been reported in Des Moines, for example. I think many people were concerned about slippery roads, and certainly traffic is moving somewhat slower than usual in the metropolitan areas in an effort to avoid the slipping and sliding that lead to crashes.
Yes, and last night's weather report warned very dangerous driving because of the high wind conditions.
Right.
But, of course, what we're most interested in for this program is what the weather will be on Tuesday evening when people will be going out to their caucuses.
Well, the report I heard was that it will be cold, but I don't know what the plans are for wind. But, you know, over the years, people have braved very cold temperatures to attend these events because I think Iowans realize how important the caucuses are in helping to shape the political future of the state.
Yes, and for that, we have two guests with us, the ones that you mentioned. And actually, we have an exciting situation here where we gave a little misinformation to our guests, but I'm very pleased to see that the Republican committee chair just got out of his car and is just walking into the Pantorium. Is that correct?
So, we've talked about this before. This is live radio, and sometimes things happen that we don't anticipate. And that's what makes fun being involved with KHOI.
It does. And it's fun to be able to see when people arrive. We have with us the Democratic chair, Jan Bauer, and now we have Dane Nielsen, the Republican chair.
And you know, we should explain to our listeners that we had told our guests that we would probably be talking to them at 7:30, and for various reasons we flipped the order, probably because we think the caucus discussion is actually more important than other events we might want to focus on.
It's the maintenance shop you're going to be hearing about later with some music samples. So,
let's proceed. Thanks for both of you for coming, and I think we'll have a good time talking about this the upcoming caucus on Tuesday and how important it is for Iowans to take part in these biannual political gatherings. Well, let me begin, if I may, by introducing the two guests that we have this morning to talk about the caucuses. And again, they will be Tuesday night, and you'll find out where and when, depending on what your political interests are. So first, I'd like to thank Dane Nielsen for coming in this morning. And let me give a little background about Dane, and then we'll allow him to expand on it if he'd like to. Dane said that he grew up in West Liberty, Iowa, and has lived in Ames for 5 years. He graduated from Iowa State University in 2010. He's held a number of political jobs, including those with the Republican Party of Iowa, and several presidential campaigns. He now serves as chairman of the Story County GOP and will work as a legislative aide in the Iowa Senate. And Dane, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And our other guest is Jan Bauer, who's longtime chair of the Story County Democratic Party, and in that way she kind of coordinates the efforts of the Central Committee. Both parties have Central Committees consisting of precinct committee members who come to meet usually once a month to discuss issues and plan events and so on. Jan has been chair of the Story County Democratic Party since 1996. Her first experience with Story County Democrats dates back to 1980 when she organized the Democratic Voters Program. Since then, Jan has coordinated numerous caucus and election campaigns. In 1992, she attended the Democratic National Convention as a delegate for Senator Tom Harkin, who was then running for president, as I recall. In 2008, she was elected an Obama delegate. Her most recent honor came in 2009 when she was selected as an at-large member of the Democratic National Committee. And Jan, thank you very much for coming this morning.
Thank you, and good morning.
Well, it is a good morning. And it's probably a good time to talk about these events. I know both of you have been working hard to get ready for this. And let me ask you both, why is it important for citizens of Story County and beyond to attend their political caucuses? So, Dane, would you why should people come out on Tuesday night?
Well, they say about politics, all politics are local, and there's no finer example in my mind than the caucus process that you go through in the state of Iowa. It's the ultimate in grassroots politics. I mean, especially in a non-presidential year, it's a lot of times it's going to be the people that are the most focused on politics year-round, the kind of political nerds, if you will. But in that sense, it's also more important because your voice counts for that much more, because, when you have a handful of people showing up in a precinct, your voice means a lot, and this is where the whole process begins for setting the party platform, for electing your party officials, and so on.
And Jan, would you echo similar sentiments as to why people should attend the Democratic caucus?
Definitely. And for the Story County Democrats, this is a great opportunity for us to reorganize in this community in particular. There's a lot of moving in and moving out, and so we're constantly trying to fill vacancies or update our procedures on what we'll be doing in the upcoming election cycle. And so it's just a great opportunity for people to get involved.
But what do you do at the caucuses? How are they organized, and how many people tend to come?
Okay. This year it's a bit of a mystery with this being an off year. We are anticipating about 100 folks to turn out at the Ames Middle School. We in the Democratic Party are having what we're calling a mega caucus in one location. It's a countywide location and function, as opposed to a regular, what we think of a presidential election cycle, where you have individual neighborhood or community gatherings.
The precinct caucus.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. But they function much like a community gathering, where you get together with your neighbors, talk about issues that are important to your community. You elect leadership to go on and represent you at the county convention, and then we also elect two representatives from each of the communities or precincts to be represented on the Central Committee. And in Story County, we've got 43 precincts, so that's a lot of folks. This year, we're planning this not regional, but this countywide event. So to help us build some enthusiasm and excitement, and hopefully that will help our organizing ability in the coming year.
Jan, would you remind the folks where the Democratic caucus will be held?
Yes, we are meeting at the Ames Middle School in the Commons area. The caucuses begin at 7 o'clock, but this year we're also having a pizza party in advance. That's at 5:30, and so we'll be doing registration from 5:30 till 7. People must be in the building and in line to participate by 7 o'clock.
Is it customary, Jan, for candidates to come to these events and meet with the voters individually or the party activists individually?
Well, it's harder when you've got 43 different locations, but this year we just happen to have all of our county candidates in one location, so they'll be giving presentations. And our 4th District congressional candidate, Jim Maurer, will be with us as well, so we're very excited to welcome him.
Dane, the Republican caucuses will actually be held at several locations, and can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we will have 4 different locations around Story County this year. In presidential years, we split it up more, but for the same reasons as the Democrats, we'll be consolidating our locations in large part. We'll have a location in Ames, which will be the biggest one, all the Ames precincts, as well as Franklin Township, which includes Gilbert, and...
Where will the Ames location be?
Ames location is going to be at Bethesda Lutheran Church, which is 1517 Northwestern Avenue.
And what time should people show up there?
They would definitely want to be there by 7 o'clock. That's when we begin. And we'll be doing a kind of a similar thing where we'll gather as a group at our 4 locations. And if there's any candidates that want to speak, they're able to do that. And we'll welcome everybody. And then they'll split off into their individual precincts and elect their central committee members and their delegates for a county convention, which, of course, as Jan mentioned, would also then have the chance to go on to district and state.
All of these locations are within our listening area, so at some time we ought to list them. I have them written down. Would you like to do that, or should we do it more than once?
I mean, I would be more than happy to read it now. Like I said, all the precincts within the city of Ames will be at Bethesda Lutheran Church, as well as Gilbert, Franklin Township, and Washington Township in Kelly. In Nevada, we'll have a location at Nevada Baptist Church, which is at 210 West 4th Street. We will have Collins Township there. We will have Grant Township. We will have Indian Creek. Oh, we've got a better list right here. Indian Creek Township in Maxwell, Lincoln Township in Ziering. We'll have Milford Township, all Nevada precincts, of course, Nevada Township, New Albany Township in Colo, Richland Township, and Sherman Township. And again, that's our Nevada location at Nevada Baptist Church. For our Huxley location, which will be at Ballard Middle School, which is 509 North Main Street in Cambridge.
No, that's not
Cambridge.
No, where is it?
It's in Huxley.
It's in Huxley, okay.
Yes. And that'll include Huxley, Palestine Township, Slater, Sheldahl, and Union Township in Cambridge.
Well, just to help our listeners, are you through with the list?
We have Story City location.
Oh,
quick.
Please,
no problem.
That one too, please.
Lafayette Township, Story City, Warren Township in McCallsburg, and then Howard Township in Roland. We'll be at Roland Story High School in Story, or at 1009 Story Street.
Well, I was about to say we plan to put those locations on our website, so folks who want to double check, if they haven't already gotten a mailing or seen it elsewhere, we'll have it on the KHOI local talk website location, and they can double check if they didn't hear where they should be.
Probably easier than listening to me read a list, huh?
Well, it's hard to get that kind of information out. In fact, I really wonder how many people are aware that there are going to be caucuses.
Well, I think, especially on off-year elections, I think the party, and Dane and Jan will probably agree, I hope, that the party works hard to get its members out and let them know one way or the other where to be and what they should do to prepare. rather than rely on general news stories that for the presidential years, people come out for these when they're not active normally in the party.
Yeah, in our case, you have to contact every central committee member and make sure that they've had training, they receive their materials, and turn up on time and are ready to organize their precinct when they arrive. It can be chaotic.
When there's a huge crowd,
exactly.
It can be a candidate. Because you have to process everybody, and they have to sign in so they can vote on various issues that come up before the caucus.
Well, and that's important, Tom, because you can come into the caucus as a non-registered voter, but then you have to register as a Democrat or as a Republican to actually participate in the party function. So that's a key element that sometimes people forget. But if you want to be a part of the party, you got to join.
And, you know, many people feel their independence. They don't affiliate with one or more of the or the other political parties. But the parties do encourage them to come anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the caucuses are so important to Iowans because Iowa has had such an important influence on national politics, not just local. So here's a chance for people to have a say in the way their government, their democratic government, is run. And they really should come out. I assume both of you would argue that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, I mean, I don't know if Jen would agree or disagree, but I think, you know, like you mentioned, a lot more people these days are kind of maintaining their independence, and that's certainly understandable with the partisan nature of politics. But at the same time, people, you know, say, well, the Democrats or the Republicans are getting too extreme. But without those voices heard, I mean, this is just really where you start to shape the party. And so, you know, by pushing away from the parties, you're kind of just exacerbating that problem if that's how you feel.
Yeah, I think that's very important, and I think some people feel that they're maintaining independence by registering independent, but in fact, they're decreasing their influence because mm-hmm. the real influence is on what candidates you have there on the ballot, mm-hmm. and that's just determined as much as possible through the caucus process in our state.
Dane, will you be having any candidates come to the Republican caucus sites?
We've talked with a lot of the candidates. We're still working on firming that up. I know that that Congressman King will be out traveling the district, and they mentioned the possibility, but we still haven't gotten that in stone yet. A lot of our local candidates will likely be there. Jeremy Davis, who, of course, will be running for the state Senate, and possibly some of our county candidates as well.
You know, it's such a large district for candidates anymore, especially congressional candidates. It's such a huge district for them. Try to be at more than one or two caucuses in a single evening is a challenge.
Yeah, but it helps, you know, having Congressman King somewhat close too. That helps.
And well, it's a real opportunity for people to meet their office holders or candidates and have a face-to-face conversation with them. You know, when people are feeling separated from government, this is a unique opportunity to actually sit down and have a face-to-face conversation.
Well, that brings up a point that I'd like both of you to comment on because it's been on my mind. And that is we have a democracy in which the citizens, individuals, have a chance to shape the government. And so many people, for various reasons, have decided to abandon really their responsibilities as citizens. In many cases, they don't even vote. And here are you two active in your political structure. And I would assume you feel it's important that more people engage in the political process. And here's one way for them to do it. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And I was recently involved with a couple of special elections down south of Des Moines and for the state Senate and then for the state House. And, you know, turnout was – I think 10% in the Senate race, and the House race was even lower than that. And, I mean, special elections, it's even harder to get attention. But, heck, I think if 10% of people showed up to the caucuses, we'd have to find new venues. So, I mean, it's amazing. Like I said, you know, especially with a small turnout in a year like this, your voice can really make an impact. And I think that's important for people to remember when they're debating whether or not they want to go.
Could I ask, one of the things that happens at the caucus is that people have a chance to discuss the party platform. And could you folks talk about the significance of the party platform? How important is that in the direction that your party and the candidates take?
I think it's a really important part of the process. I mean, it's literally where you start the entire process of steering what ultimately becomes the national party platform. And when you go to your precinct caucuses, you're able to submit these planks that are then discussed at your precinct and can be forwarded on to county convention. And then you'll have a committee that combines those all into your county platform. And then when you go to district, there'll be another committee that forwards that to the district and then the state and then the national. And so, I mean, this is really where it all begins. If you've got something that is important to you as a voter that you want to see in a party platform, you have your chance to submit it, and then you go through the whole process of voting it up. And it's, you know, the Iowa caucuses in a lot of ways are really, you know, kind of a quirky thing, but it's great because, I mean, it's the absolute best of grassroots politics.
Yeah, and it's an opportunity to actually shape opinion. You can help shape the opinion of those at the caucus. And then as your plank moves forward, it definitely gives the party and its office holders an idea of public opinion and how strongly held issues are with the local electorate. So it's a real opportunity for folks.
I think, though, that one of the things that the caucus process does, and I've heard this over the years, and it's, I think, quite true for at different times, the Republican and the Democratic parties, is that because the most concerned people come out, both parties tend to be a little more polarized than they otherwise would be, including the Democrats. The Democrats, I remember, they're so liberal, and it was that the activists were so liberal, and this may be why many people want to be independents, because they don't identify with either the so liberal or the very conservative parts. So it's why it would be important for large numbers of people to come to caucuses if they feel they want to pull their parties toward the center.
That's definitely true.
Well, I wonder if as we begin to wrap up our discussion of the caucus, if you would talk about why people should come out on maybe a chilly Tuesday night. Why should they be there at the caucus?
I checked the forecast yesterday, and it looks like we've got a really, really nice weekend ahead, and then it's going to plummet on Monday. So there's your meteorology report for the weekend. You know, for all the reasons we've mentioned previously, you know, it's where you begin to shape the party. And if you've got convictions that are important to you, or if you feel like the parties are moving too far to one side or the other, that's your chance to have your voice heard and get your friends out if they feel the same way you do. And, you know, like Jan mentioned, fill your central committee. I mean, this is really where the entire apparatus for an election campaign begins, is having that strong central committee that's going to be able to go out and knock doors and make phone calls and all those kind of things. And again, shaping the party and you know, making sure the platform echoes the voice that you want it to, and just taking advantage of the process and the ability to meet your candidates up close face to face.
Yeah, I totally agree, Dane. It's also in the Democratic Party, there's a bit of a social aspect to it as well. You definitely get to meet your friends and neighbors and get to know the community better, and in the process, get to know your office holders better. And it's a way for folks that may not be already tied into the political mainstream to get involved. You know, it's a real opportunity to start at the ground and work your way up. That's certainly what has happened with me, and you don't have to be in the party as long as I have to get to a different level. But there's opportunities all along to advance and participate at the county level, participate at the district and state levels, and it's really quite fun. It's a lot of work, I'll grant you that, but it's also a lot of fun and definitely worth the time and trouble because, you know, the folks that are going to turn out on a cold, wintry night are folks just like you, and they're just as committed to the process as you are, and so I hope we can encourage as many people to turn out as possible.
Well, thank you both for coming out to get out the vote.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We've been listening and talking with Jan Bauer, chair of the Story County Democratic Party, and Dane Nielsen, chair of the Story County Republican Party. And we thank you both for taking time to encourage people to come to the caucuses on Tuesday night.
You've been listening to KHOI Community Radio, where we bring you the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Our guests are going to be leaving us now, and we will be getting ready to meet with Jim Brockpaler, Entertainment Program Coordinator from the Memorial Union Student Activity Center, talking to us about the upcoming schedule for the maintenance shop. And we'll have a little music from Honest Songs by Noah Gunderson for the interlude.
Bangs coming down. They're taking all our hard-earned pay, Lord give, but he taketh away. And I pay our debts, but work's getting hard to find. These are hard times. And I built this house with my own two hands. Now they're gonna take it, 5 acres of land, and all of our children growing up way too fast in these hard times. But wait, oh wait, see how the morning breaks. It's the simplest of love songs, but it's all our hearts can take. And though we lose our stake, heaven is where we make it, even in the smallest places, in a garden grow. And I took this job in part as a sacrifice for my unborn children. I always worked hard on all of these sad estates with no hard time. But wait, oh wait, see how the morning breaks. It's the simplest of love songs, but it's all our hearts can take. And though we lose our stake, heaven is where we make it, even in the smallest places can a garden grow. So wait, oh wait, see how the morning breaks. It's the same
last part of our program today, we welcome Jim Brockpaler. talking with us about the spring schedule at the maintenance shop. Hello, Jim.
Hello, good morning.
The song by Noah Gunderson that we just heard is from an artist who will be performing this spring at the maintenance shop. Is that right?
That's correct. Noah will be joining us on Thursday, February 27, for a show. That show will be at 8 p.m. in the maintenance shop.
Okay. Well, you must know your schedule by heart by this time, then.
Getting there. Our student directors probably know it better than I, but I definitely have a good handle on it, going through it a number of times.
Well, so mentioning the student directors, I understand you have a new one. Do you want to tell us a little about them?
Yeah, definitely. The student directors for the maintenance shop, the students that actually program the space, are part of our student union board. We have directors for a variety of areas, the M shop being one, and the M shop is actually a co-directorship, just given the amount of work that goes into programming the series and running all the various concerts. Currently, our current directors, George Potter is one of our student directors that's returning. It's his second year as a director with the maintenance shop. And then Melissa Sherritt is our newest director. She comes to us. She actually worked with KURE, the student radio station on campus, helped us KURE put together the KURE Fest last fall, which is a really great concert series, and I actually got to work with Melissa quite extensively helping them put that together. She got involved with the maintenance shop from there, applied to be a director, and she's now one of our co-directors. So.
Now, both of these are students at Iowa State, is
correct.
That right?
Correct.
And so they'll be in, what, theater arts, or is that...
Our students come from a wide variety of areas, and I'm going to misquote exactly what their majors are, but it's not always what you'd think. It's we have students from all varieties of different academic areas at the university, so it's really a neat dynamic with Student Union Board.
Jim, could I, maybe for some of our listeners, they don't know much about the maintenance shop, and it's a really important operation on campus, and most students and faculty even know about it, but maybe you could take a moment to tell people where it is and whether it's open to everybody in the community or just what is it?
No, that's a great question, and a lot of folks don't necessarily know, but the maintenance shop is a live music venue on campus, and much more, actually. We feature, we have comedy nights in there. We actually have Iowa State's own comedy improv troupe, Grandma Mojo's, performs in there on a semi-biweekly basis. But primarily at the time, a live music venue.
But I think it's important to tell people that it's actually in the ISU Memorial building, Union Building, and it's downstairs where I assume decades ago it was actually a maintenance shop.
Exactly, yeah. We're down on the west side of the Memorial Union at the Lake Laverne entrance, and it was exactly that. This year is the maintenance shop's 40th anniversary, so started in 1974, actually January 4th of 1974, I think, was the first performance in there. And you're exactly right. It was the maintenance area for the building. When they added on one of the many additions to the Memorial Union, the maintenance area moved over to where they are now. And the Student Union Board at the time, 40 years ago, petitioned to turn it into a live performance space.
I was here at that time, and I'd like to add a little bit.
Yeah, please.
At that time, there was no liquor on campus, and they were trying to figure out a place where they could actually legally serve liquor on campus. And the idea of using that newly available maintenance shop space was where it came from. And in the early days, it actually had a theater series, too. Yep. I mean, shows. They had musicals and serious drama. And
also, I remember, and perhaps you know about this in the history of the place, for several weeks, Iowa Public Television actually recorded programs there. I think it was jazz at the maintenance shop, I believe, was the theme.
They did a blues series as well.
And they aired it statewide on Iowa Public Television, and so the maintenance shop became something of a famous location for Iowa.
Yeah, very true. It's and it is one of the longest continuously running clubs in Iowa, definitely a name. So. And Susan's right as well. It did start out a theater, was first and foremost what it started out as, was a theater venue. My first year at Iowa State, I hosted we hosted some alumni from that era, from the first year of the maintenance shop, and I was on there talking about it was very heavily theater based, and the music came in from there. But yeah, and then it was featured on the public television a couple of series over the years. So.
If you haven't been to the maintenance shop, you don't know how intimate a room it is. I mean, you really can come and almost feel like you're on the stage. I think that's one of the great things about it.
And it's a modular thrust stage that we have, so it's actually three quarters in the round where the audience is all around the band. The artist on the green room is for better or worse, is kind of on the other side of the venue. So the band comes through the audience to get to the stage, which is a, kind of a neat dynamic. It's a very fun experience to be there, and there literally is not a bad seat in the house. If you're at an M Shop show, you're, like Tom said, right there.
Oh, yeah. I've been to theater where you literally could put your feet up on the carpet on the stage, and you know, you're that close, and running through the audience. My most memorable experience at the M Shop was a Kletzmer band, and because this is Iowa, people didn't know what that was, so they were giving away free tickets for this, and it's was enormously dynamic. And for people who don't know, it's brass, and it was Yiddish music, and it was the music that was played I guess in the 20s and 30s, and these people discovered from old records what it sounded like, and it was the most dynamic music. I mean, I think even more than a rock band. It was so in that intimate space, and they came in through the room, which wasn't very big. I mean, it wasn't a long way, but it was, I think we were all just, you know, completely dynamic. And this was people, we were not people who maybe would have been so turned on and involved in the like everybody is today with the youth music. But it was it was a younger time for us too. But and I think that must be the big thing about them. One of the most wonderful things is that you're there with the musicians.
That's very true. Yeah, very true for any artist, anything we bring in. I think anyone has a very unique and fun experience when they come to an M Shop show.
Is food still served in the M Shop?
We don't. That changed a number of years ago. ISU, well, actually, when the union was its own entity, the maintenance shop did have a food program. Then when folded in the university, ISU Dining handled that for a while. We've taken that on ourselves again, but we during shows we have frozen pizzas available, and we have popcorn available.
Can people buy refreshments, drinks?
Yep, and then we have a variety of bottled beers and some wines for those that are of age, and as well as soda for those that aren't. It is an all ages venue, and then you asked about earlier, it is open to the public. We welcome everyone to the maintenance shop.
Okay, well, you obviously have a heavy schedule of programming, so people are there frequently. What's the next big event?
Well, coming up this weekend, we actually have our first show of the semester, and it's sold out yesterday, featuring the Lone Bellow, and Iowa artist Damon Dotson is going to be opening the show. So we're very excited about that. They're kind of an alt-country folk group, very popular, getting much acclaim. So we're very much looking forward to bringing them in. We knew it was going to be the student directors knew it was going to be a good show when they programmed it. But I guess we didn't expect it to sell out as fast as it did. And I think a number of folks now are looking to get tickets and unfortunately aren't able to. You know, we have a capacity and is what it is, but it's going to be a great show.
Do you have a healthy scalping organization going on?
I don't think so. Some of our folks that have been calling the box office have mentioned going to Craigslist to see if they can find those tickets, but I think our ticket holders are planning to attend.
And that's one of the wonderful things about it. I mean, they're almost always sold out, or they frequently are. Isn't that right?
We generally always have a great audience. Maybe not sold out, but there's always a good crowd there. And the nice thing about the maintenance shop, too, is even with a smaller group, it's such a great atmosphere that it feels like a full crowd. But yes, quite often our shows do fairly well. So.
Jim sent me a little sampling of the music that's going to be coming up this spring from groups that were here last year, I presume. Right? Because you have dates on the ones that you gave me. And
it was dates for this year, actually. It was actually their tracks, but for this year, I think some of the ones, Green River Ordinance, that's coming up on March 28th. And they have been to the M Shop before, a number of years ago, before my time, but coming back this March. I think another one in there was the Steel Wheels, actually, going to be a great Americana kind of folk band. I'm very excited to bring in, and they're coming in April 30th. They're going to be our last show of the semester, so that's going to be a very fun one as well.
Yeah, well, I noticed that they were the ones that stood out to me as the most unusual on that CD, and we have a sample of that to play. So can we just listen to that now?
There's rain coming down in the valley. We're gonna wash in the river so deep. There's a rain coming down in the valley. Oh Lord, there ain't no devil going where I go. Ain't no devil going where I go. Ain't no
water gonna bring me down. There ain't no devil now. Gather up the rain a coming. There's a rain coming down. Meet me out at the edge of town. There's a rain coming down. Tell everybody that the water's rising. There's a rain coming down. You think it's tame, but it'll put you in the ground. There's a rain coming down. There's a rain coming down in the valley. We're gonna wash in the river. So deep, there's a rain coming down in the valley. Oh Lord, there ain't no devil going where I go. Ain't no devil going where I go. Ain't no water gonna bring me down. There ain't no devil now.
I love all my children here.
There's a rain coming down, like the roots that grow in the river for the tree. There's a rain coming down, if you get there before I do. There's a rain coming down. Tell the water could tell the water. Tell what the water could take from me. Tell what the water could take from me. Tell what the water could take from me. Oh, tell what the water. Oh, there's a rain coming down in the valley. We're gonna wash in the river so deep. There's a rain. Gonna bring me down. There ain't no devil now. There ain't no water gonna bring me down. There ain't no devil now.
Wow. That's wonderful. And an indication, I think, of the variety of programs that you offer there. We were talking earlier about the fact that shows get sold out. Well, how many seats are there that people can get tickets for?
Yeah, that's a very good question. We have kind of two ways we do the concerts in there, and I'm either standing or seated capacity. And really, more and more artists, and I think much of this may have some of our long-time patrons. We're doing more and more shows that are standing just to maximize the capacity in the space, get as many as we can. You know, something we like to do to be able to offer as many people to get in to see the show as possible, and something that the artists like as well to maximize the capacity. So the standing capacity is 195 people in there. If we do have a seated show, which some of our shows come in as seated, 150 is our max seated capacity.
Well, for those of us who are a little older than the college age, we need a chair.
and that's why we 100% understand that and do, feel bad when we have, but sometimes just some of our shows are that standing. We do have, obviously have some perimeter seating around, so some folks can hopefully at least, take a break and sit down for a little bit if they need to. And our shows do move fairly quickly and everything that, that you're hopefully not standing for too awful long when we do have the standing shows.
Jim, you were saying earlier that you're a native of Wisconsin and had some experience in this kind of programming at the UW, University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire,
yep.
And now are here. And I forgot how long ago you said you came to Ames.
I've been here. This is my fifth. I just finished my fifth semester, starting my sixth. So I started in the summer of 2011 was my first year at Iowa State.
And do you have authority or are you encouraged by management to experiment a little bit and try to make some changes at the maintenance shop?
Yeah, I mean, I think Iowa State's very open to changes, to trying things different ways. And then, we also work with, I advise and work with the student union board. So really, as we see different students come in and different generations of students, those changes do happen along with students, because ultimately, they're going to be the decision makers, the one making the programming choices, along with, heavy staff involvement and advisement. But we see that change, and it's welcome, and it's encouraged.
Well, I've been there many times over the years and have always enjoyed attending events at the Maintenance Shop.
That's great.
Could you talk just a little bit about Grandma Mojo's and who they are and what they're like?
Yeah, definitely. Grandma Mojo's Moonshine Revival is their full name. So they're a fun group. And it's a group of ISU students, and it's a student improv group. They perform on a variety of select Wednesday nights throughout the semester. I was on Wednesdays and 10 p.m., so a little bit later of performances, but hilarious.
Is that a standing room only program?
That one is seated. That is one of our seated shows, so that's where we have that 150 seated capacity. But yeah, they're just a great student improv group. They do a lot of funny skits and sketches, and also a changing, evolving group. As students graduate and new students come in, they host auditions at the beginning of most semesters, try to gain new members. So a lot of fun. They just had their first performance this past Wednesday night and had about a little over 100 people in there, and it was a lot of fun.
Now, when you say improv, do you mean improv in singing or a comedy?
A comedy. It's a comedy improv group, so they're doing those sketches and skits and a lot of audience interaction. The audience is very involved in the show. So
a lot of topical humor, local humor, I suspect.
Yep, that's very true.
This has been a really great interview with you. And
thank you for having me.
We'd like to close out with another sample of the music that people will be hearing.
That'd be great.
And it's Flying. And do you want to talk a little about the group before we play it?
That's the Green River Ordinances track.
Yes.
And yeah, that's going to be another great show. Green River Ordinance is coming up. They're kind of
That they weren't there last year, that this is, they were popular in the past, is that right?
And yeah, they've been there at the Maintenance Shop a number of years ago before my time, but a very fun pop rock group, younger, but about much acclaimed. They've done very much in their young career, so it's just going to be a lot of fun. That show is also doing well. I think we're going to have a great audience there. And then opening acts, actually, Ellen Owen, a very a great young singer-songwriter folk duo is going to be opening that show. So all around going to be a great show.
Okay, let's hear Flying.
I want to get lost in a simple song, sing it all night long. Baby, dance with me. Won't take that ride to the other side. We'll spread our wings and we'll reach new heights. We're flying high. Darling, you look beautiful. Just flying, your hand in mine. Won't you come with me tonight? We're flying high. Darling, you look beautiful.
that song made us fly a little high too while we were listening, and we discovered that there's a KHOI maintenance shop connection because one of our staff members is Chris Ling, who is a member of the Mumfords, and Nate Logston helped us get started. And so would you like to say just a little about this upcoming program?
Yeah, actually, a week from today, we have what's our billing as our third annual Ames Winter Classic, and it's a very fun local show that was started by one of our former student directors, actually a student director my first year at Iowa State, Connor Nolan, along with Nate Logston, and they started the Ames Winter Classic featuring Mumfords, and then Nate brings in a variety of Iowa bands. This year, and I'm going to butcher the spelling of their name, or the pronunciation of the name, but Anna Libera, I believe, Triggerfish, and Twins are going to be some local Iowa bands that are joining Mumfords in the M Shop that night. And it's just going to be a great, fun show. So information is available online for all these shows.
I think the examples we've been playing give their listeners an idea of just the quality of the programming that you offer at the maintenance shop.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about this. And it's time for our outro. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Your hosts today have been me, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Tom Beal. And our guests have been...
Well, Dane Nelson, chairman of the Story County Republican Central Committee, and Jan Bowers, chair of the Story County Democrats. The last part of our program was an interview with Jim Brockpaler, Entertainment Programs Coordinator of the Memorial Union Student Activity Center. Iowa State's previewing the 2014 spring schedule. That's the 40th anniversary of the maintenance shop.
Music you have heard today is from bands that will be playing at the maintenance shop this spring for their 40th anniversary season. The tracks are Honest Songs by Noah Gunderson from his CD Family, Rain in the Valley from the Steel Wheels, Flying by the Green River Ordnance. For tickets to Maintenance Shop shows, you can just go to Google for Maintenance Shop, or you can try to type in www.sub.iastate.edu, or you can call 515-294-8349. That's 515-294-8349 for tickets. And usually they're available at the door, but you better phone ahead because, as we mentioned, they're often sold out. Terrific shows. Bye. Local Talk is engineered by Richard Morrison and Becca Brown. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. You can also listen to this show and all our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. And see listings of our past guests and resource contact information. And we'll also have information about caucuses on our website when it goes out. You will also find lists of our guests and contact information to the organizations we speak with and other resources mentioned on our shows. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends and consider becoming one of the 500 families donating $20 per month or $250 per year to help us meet our operating expenses. We'd appreciate your feedback either by phone at 292-2878, that's 515-292-2878, or by email at khoiradio@gmail.com.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878 or by email khoiradio@gmail.com. Your participation as audience makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening and
see you again on the radio.